So, I don't know if you've noticed, but things have changed. Like, we've been talking about this for a while. Change is coming, old systems will fall apart, how do we make sure all the conditions are in place? Well, we kind of need to realize that it's already happened. In fact, it's happening right now, all around us. And the kind of critical realization I have for this year is like the world's on the phone, you know, right now. It's like, in however many years, people are going to look back in history and go, that period, you know, kind of 2008, 9, 10, that was a really critical point in history. And it reminds me of that story of the frog in boiling water, which isn't such a, like, an animal-friendly story, but, you know, if you drop a frog into boiling water, it jumps out. If you slowly boil the water with the frog in it, it doesn't realize the water's getting warm, and it stays in the water till it dies. And it's like, how, at the moment, like, we're in this critical moment of planetary history, right now. And to keep aware of the fact that that is, it's now that we're in this moment, is absolutely essential. Because otherwise we're kind of, oh, it's just like we do our everyday thing, but the everything we've talked about over the years with Irvin Laszlo or others about these critical moments in history, what he calls the chaos points, where the old system collapses and the new system's not there yet, and nobody knows what to do. And by the way, there is no plan B. There is no plan B for the economic system. There is no plan B for the ecological system. Nobody in power today knows what to do. Nobody knows what to do. And we need to believe that. We really need to understand that, because these people, on the one hand, it brings the power, it distributes the power out from the people who we expect to have all the solutions, and it also allows them not to know. Let's not expect the people in positions of power today to know, because they've been trained and educated, and the reason they're in power today is because they can do the old system well. And that old system isn't working anymore, and yet it has to somehow run the show while the world falls apart around it, and while we get our act together to create the new. So let's bless those people for the struggle which they're in, because they have to keep running the show in the knowledge, and believe me, they know, that it's not working anymore. And yet they have to keep it going, while folks like us hang out in places like this and try to work out, what the hell does the new look like? So, in these moments of chaos and not knowing, the system scientists, and, you know, I hear Irvin Laszlo talk about it in others, it's, chaos doesn't mean a lack of order. It means a subtle order. Behind the chaos that we experience, there's a whole new story that's beginning to form, a whole new order, which if we look carefully and begin to sense, we can get a feel of. But it's in these moments where, if you get the timing right, and you get the framing right, and you do it with the fullest integrity and clarity, the smallest drop in the nearly crystalline solution can flip the whole system. So it's at times like these where critical, carefully thought out, and also unattached experiments can have a huge influence on this unstable system. So it's really a time for us to be, you know, really thinking very carefully about how we choose to use our time, how we choose to use our energy, what do we choose to do, how do we choose to think about ourselves and our reality, because everything that we do now has a far greater impact than it would at a time where things are fairly stable and fairly settled. So that's a challenge both to myself, in terms of, am I doing really the most I could be doing right now, given the times that we're in? Or am I kind of hanging out in the comfort zone of, you know, stuff which I'm familiar with? Or am I really asking myself those fundamental questions? You know, and as I look around this room, I know I can see people who the last year or so have chosen to leave their work, to really go, without knowing exactly what they're going to do, but to go, I've got to do something different, and I don't know what it is, and I won't know what it is until I've actually left behind what it was I was before, until I kind of shed that skin. It reminds me of the, you know, you've seen that Indiana Jones film with the, there's the big chasm like over the other side, and I'm standing here, and they say there's an invisible bridge across it. But yeah, I can't see it. And yet do I dare to put my foot down? And suddenly, when you do, that bridge crystallizes. But it doesn't crystallize until you put your foot down. So you can't kind of go, oh, come on, show me the bridge, man. You know, it doesn't work like that. It only works when you put your foot into thin air and that it then begins to crystallize. So there's something about this time which is, I was reading, a commentator in the newspaper who was saying, you know, 1981 was the year when Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan determined the next 20 years of the economic financial framework. And 2009 will be the year when we seed the next number of years of how the global world order is structured. And that's now. That's like this year. And that's you and me here trying to work out what are we going to be doing. So it's, you know, it's an amazing time to be alive. And it's a deeply challenging time to be alive. So our kids or our grandchildren will look back and they'll say to us, so Daddy, what did you do in the Great Turn? Made sure I had enough money to pay the mortgage, and you know. No, I asked myself fundamentally what was going on, and how does what's happening in the world connect to my passion and my capabilities, and I threw myself into it. I didn't know what was going to happen, but hey, you know, something happened and we're still here today. So, and just the fact that we're in this place here, that this exists, the fact that the hub exists, a physical location in the middle of Amsterdam, committed to, what's the mission? Like a radically new world, not just a kind of nice little improvement on the way things are, but a radical new world, which is pulling together social entrepreneurs, is a sign that something is changing. And one thing which I've really noticed, maybe it's the last 6 months or so, that where before we may have all seen ourselves as being the radical innovators on the edge and being new and all the stuff we're doing is new and different and this is, you know, I have to let go of the old things. Suddenly, I've noticed that people are not even questioning my right to sit at the table and be a partner in a conversation about how the world should be. I don't have to pretend I'm radical or new or different or anything anymore. In fact, because so much has crumbled and fallen down around our ears, there's an openness that's emerged. And for me, certainly, and I think for us, it's going to be very important for us to start to see ourselves as normal. Normal. Oh. I think a lot of us in this room, the reason we're here is because we're change agents. We were here to make things different and change the world and everything, which of course is essential in this phase of, you know, helping the old to realize that it's old and how do we create the new. And yet something significant has shifted in the field in the last 6 months, whereby we need to start thinking of ourselves as part of what's normal. And I know for myself, it radically changes the way I sit in a conversation with someone. And I'm kind of, well, actually, this is just the way things are, you know. I don't need to now produce all my data on PowerPoint slides to say that the economic system's going to collapse. Because everybody's seen it collapse. Everybody's seen the ecological system collapse. Everybody can see all the problems we're having with fundamentalism in the world. All these systemic issues are right in our face. We don't need to convince anyone anymore that the world is changing. In that context, you know, it's time. It's our time. And people need us. So we don't need to be in a convincing mode. We're just like, where do people need and trust us to work? And we show up and we share our understanding of reality and how it is, and people tend to go, oh yeah, that makes sense, so how can you help me out? And it's a very grounding realization somehow from what is often in the spiritual movement a very kind of, you know, up here sort of energy, we're evolving ourselves spiritually and everything else, to really bringing that energy down to earth into a, well, it's just about doing what needs to be done right here and right now. And it's nothing more grand than that, except that's maybe the grandest thing which it can be. The other realization which has been kind of critical to me recently is, now this is the earth responding to what's happening in her body. We are the earth's immune system. We are the earth reacting to a disease in its system. So we don't need to see ourselves as like we're going to save the planet. We are the planet saving itself. And that's a critical shift in perspective when we realize that actually we're not separate from this whole context. We are the Earth's body evolving itself. I am the planet talking to itself. Anyone who lived outside of this planet looking down would think it ludicrous for us to think, oh look, these are creatures of the Earth. Now we are native to this planet. And there's a lot of talk and gloom and doom around, oh, human beings are so evil, you know, we're just going to die out and we deserve it. You know, which we really need to get beyond, because we are native to this planet. We belong to this planet. This planet gave birth to us, and she loves us unconditionally. So we are the Earth responding to what's happening in her own body, in our own bodies. And that realization also brings, as you might expect, a very earthing, a very grounding reality to it, where it kind of sinks down from being this big struggle to save things into a kind of, oh yeah. There's one other piece. I said I didn't know how long it was going to go on. There's another piece I have to thank Diane Hamilton for when we were in one of her big mind sessions, which is, so how do we deal with this spiritual realization that everything is totally perfect as it is? Yeah, that ultimate kind of realization of oneness and absoluteness, that actually there's absolutely nothing to change. Actually it's just perfect. And the fact that we're living in a relative world where actually there's an enormous amount of work to do. And those two, how do we hold both those two fundamental truths in a creative dynamic tension with each other? Because you will never resolve that tension. Because they are both true and they will both remain true. So everything is perfect and there's an enormous amount of work to do. And the everything is perfect realization, for me, gives me that relaxation and that space and that freedom to be able to do whatever I need to do with lightness and total focus and commitment. So it feels like a polarity, but the sentence, the phrase which came into my mind as Diane was doing this work with us was I am fully engaged and totally free at the same moment. And in fact, the freer I am, the more engaged I become. And the more engaged I become, the freer I become. But actually, these two, which look like, if you ever get caught in the trap of going, I stop doing all of this, I'm going to lose some of my freedom. So what am I going to do to maintain my freedom at this time? That will completely wreck you. Because we're being asked to do things way beyond anything we've been asked to do. And to try to bargain your freedom against your commitment will probably kill you. It's a fundamental position that we take, where freedom is engagement, ultimately because we are one, because we are the person responding to this. And so that's where the kind of spirituality, let's say, meets the activism, in a creative dynamic tension, which never dissolves itself except in the moment, what I'm doing now. I wanted to finish with a little poem, and I put a book down. I don't know if anyone's heard of this guy, John O'Donoghue. And it's such a simple poem, it's just a few words. But for me, it sums up kind of, at least my, this is, I'd say, my New Year's resolution. He called it fluent. Fluent. I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. I would love to live like a river flows, carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. Carried by the surprise of its own unfolding. Happy New Year. Thank you to Tatiana and the Hub people for hosting us here, and there's plenty to drink and eat and lots of amazing people. I mean, you probably don't know half the people in this room, but talk to as many of them as you can, because there's some brilliant souls who showed up this evening, and lots of exciting connections. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.